Greetings to you this morning. The last line there. Take myself, and I will be ever only. Always on, whatever, ever only, all for thee. That more or less leads into what I have prepared. Just letting go of self, mortifying flesh, and always serving the Lord. It's been a blessing to be here. I've been encouraged, and I'm very grateful for that. Hopefully it has been the same for you. So I have reading in the book Whom the Lord Loveth, and the chapter entitled The Humbling of Self. And so I built off that. Some of it I will quote directly, so the entire sermon is more or less patterned from that chapter. Just want to make that note. So the humbling of self, it used the word effacement, and I like the definition of efface, which is to eliminate or to make indistinct. So the effacement of self is to eliminate self or to make it indistinct. I think both have their place. So if we think about humbling of ourself, of humility, we understand what humility is, I believe, but that's where I started. What is humility? We need to understand the desired virtue of humility. The dictionary says that it's a freedom from pride or arrogance, the quality or state of being humble. And I would like to add that not only is it the freedom from pride or arrogance, but also our ego, our own agendas, and we could probably add more, and our ego probably comes in under pride as far as that goes, but just different things we have to deal with. So eliminating or bringing into indistinction. I'll touch on that, on the indistinction part later. So that's what the dictionary says. If in the Bible we find in Ephesians 4:21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness through holiness. So, humbling of self, includes is largely about putting off the old man. Maybe we can say it is entirely. I don't think it's entirely, because even though we walk in the newness of life, we still come to a point where we need to choose humility again and again. So be renewed in the spirit of our mind, taking on the mind of Christ, and walking in that power, like we've already discussed in Sunday school. We are given a divine power. For all things pertaining to life and godliness. So the just another example of, or another scripture teaching us, the thing of humility, the need for it, or whatever, in Luke 22, starting verse 24, and there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, Jesus said to them, and now these are Jesus, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. So the thing of the chief, the man in charge, the man to whom everyone goes to for answers or instruction, let him be as a servant. That is a depiction of humility. Goes on to say, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is it not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. So Jesus said himself that he is amongst his people as one who serves. Although he was the greatest, he was serving them. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So the serving ends up being rewarded. Then in John chapter 13, starting verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you, as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you to do them. So, you want to be happy? Start serving others, right? Instead of self. Instead of looking to be served, start serving. The humbling of self is one of the most difficult lessons to learn. And again, I guess I repeat myself, but also, you know, from the Sunday school lesson, it is a process or a procedure that that repeats itself. We go through that process time and time again. Humility must be learned. It is not a natural attribute that we have. We are called to humility. We are called to die to self, to lay down our egos, pride, simply serve in love. And self dies hard. Our carnal nature wants to be in control. Just within that carnal nature, we seem to think we have a right to ascribe our name to all the good that we accomplish. Humility calls us to do the good and but receive no honor to ourselves. It is by the grace of God that we can do good, and it is to Him whom all honor or credit should be given. And again, our carnality likes to be noticed for the sacrificial deeds that we do, but God would have us do those deeds because we love Him, because we are devoted to be His servant, to serve in His love. I think the word ambassadors fits well there. We serve as Jesus served while He was on earth. So we are, in a sense, we are taking His place in serving the others, serving unbelievers, making them aware of their need, sharing with them the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they also might be brought into the The Bible speaks of, you know, the thing of humility is not a natural attribute. It must be learned. In the time of Noah, in Genesis 8, verse 20, it says, Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Just that statement, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, shows us that we have, we are born with a selfishness about us that is not humble, but we are called to mortify that, to lay down that selfishness, that desire for recognition, that desire for honor, glory. That does not mean at all that we cannot be doing honorable things, but we simply do it because we understand that we are called to it. We do it because we realize it brings honor and glory to God, and because of a love for Him and the furthering of His kingdom. So, you know, we are called to work or to serve in the sight of man. I think William made the statement this morning about being well dressed and well groomed helps to show the love of God. So our works are manifest to the world, and it is through those works that men are able to see the love of God in action. So we are called to do those works in the sight of man, to do good in their presence. But it need not go to our head. We need not be prideful about it. But because, you know, it is by the grace of God that we're able to do that. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And I'm very thankful for the rest of that verse, the final statement. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So it's all about glorifying the Father, not look at me, see what I have done. It's not what it's about. 1 Timothy 5:24. 24 and 25. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. If I understand that correctly, some men's sins are known. There's not much question. You know, they're tried, judgment is made, pretty much cut and dry. Where others takes lots of investigation and probing and searching to make fair judgment. I'm thinking of in the world of criminality. Okay. I think that's what this is saying. Then verse 25, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that otherwise cannot be hid. So I'm not sure how to further explain that, but I find it interesting that on the sinful side, some things are open and then others are hidden and have to be investigated and searched out. Where on the side of good works, you know, some is open and well known, but if it's not, it still can't be hidden. in the process of executing our works in the present world around us, we must do so in the spirit of humility. Our works are to honor God. It's not about what we do, but what God does through us. So, humility is required to please God. Jesus taught that our lives are to please God. He showed us that by example. A few scriptures on that. Luke 18:9, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Okay, that's what we do not want, but that is what our human tendencies would have. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And what did Jesus respond? I tell you, this man, publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So this incident was concerning or included public prayer. The one the one was filled with self and said things to glorify his own life. So we find ourselves in situations where public prayer is in order. And Jesus prayed publicly. But again, we do that in devotion to God, not to glorify ourselves in some way, or we don't pray with great swelling words. But we pray from a devotion to God, coming from the love that is poured into our hearts by God Himself. We should not base our works or our prayers in this situation on the desire for human attention or commendation. So commendations do come. What do we do with that? We don't do it for commendation, but they will come. Think we do well to acknowledge that it is only by the grace of God that we are able to do well, and to give Him the glory for that. Jesus told us directly and by example that all that we do is to please Him. His works were done for Jesus' works. Things he did were done for divine approval, not for the praise of men. John 8:28, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So Jesus left us that example. He taught that truth, that the things we do are done to please the Father. Okay, this next section I copied from the book, Whom the Lord Loveth, says there, if we can learn this lesson of living and working for God's approval only, it will set us free of the bondage desiring the praise of men. It will give us a wonderful sense of freedom, will exalt our ideals of life and duty, and will inspire us to always do our best. I like the thing of if we learn to live and work to please God, it frees us from a bondage of desiring praise of men. John the Baptist also illustrated the grace of humility or self-effacement. In his life and ministry, initially great throngs of people followed him. As Jesus' preaching became known to the people, many of John's followers drifted away from John and started following Jesus. So we think of that. You know, we can realize that John could have been envious, and I think that some of John's followers questioned it a little bit, but we see that John was not envious. He rejoiced that Jesus was being honored. In John 3:30, said he told his followers that he, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. And I don't think he said that grudging. He just acknowledged that he has faithfully served, but it's about Jesus, and people need to follow him. He was actually preparing the way for Jesus, and he desired people to follow him. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So the believing, the humbling of self, the dying to self, depending on one God for strength and direction, has its reward. By the same token, to do not believe that, just live selfishly, also has its reward, but it is quite the opposite. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The thing of the effacement of self, where self is made to be indistinct, I believe that fits in the area of serving in the presence of the world or in the sight of the world, in the face of criticism or unbelievers, however the situation may be. Self needs to be indistinct. We are still at work. We are in action. But the selfishness within us is not, it's not noted. Okay, so as I had mentioned earlier, I guess I just finished mentioning that there is reward for believing or dying to self. That thought, the thing of how are we rewarded, took my mind to Matthew 6, where it speaks of giving alms, and Matthew 6, verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. In verse 6, speaks of praying. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So, not that all our works are done in secret, but the carnal works, the carnal nature is buried. Okay? It is in secret. Yet there is a reward for the things done with the carnal nature buried. In 1 Peter 5, it speaks of humility, starting in verse 5. Likewise, younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. We have experience enough, I believe, that we understand that takes humility. Okay. Be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Keep it about you. Keep humility about you. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Then verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So, again, speaking of of reward or and let's be clear that we don't humble ourselves so that we gain a reward, but we humble ourselves because we love God, because we are devoted to serving in His kingdom, and then the reward will be given. We skip down to verse 10 in 1 Peter 5. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that that is our desire, that to Him all glory can be given. So, in conclusion, are we willing to serve, to be help to others, to be of help to others, then keep quiet about that which we have done? Henry Drummond, and I don't know who he is, this was just stated in this book, but he wrote, "Put a seal upon my lips and forget what ye have done. After ye have done good, go back into the shade again and say nothing about it." Then also another statement from the book, that the true reward of kindness or self-denial is that which comes from the act itself. The joy of helping another, of relieving distress, of making the heart a little braver and stronger for the toil or struggle that we cannot make easier. I had to think of, if I have their name right, is Mark and Marcia Lonnie. Used to be your neighbors, Della Green. Thank you for correcting me there. She being blind, and yet, I don't know. There's something about her that she shows a strong character. The thing of helping someone else to make their heart a little braver or a little stronger for a struggle that cannot be made easy. Her blindness, she can be helped. The blindness stays on. It's always a thing. But reaching out to her will undoubtedly make her heart a little braver and a little stronger. And so as we serve, can we bear that in mind, that we may not be able to help the situation? My mind now goes to Josh Baker. His children are with the state. Can hardly bear that. And we can't change that. We can't go take his children and and bring them back to him. But maybe we can make his heart a little braver, a little stronger. So, as we go forth, may we efface self, face Christ, serve in love, bless others, forego recognition for the good deeds done, impart all reward in praise to the Lord, any reward that we get, and we turn that to the Lord. Still one statement, and I don't know, in a way I refrain from this, but I think the statement is so good. It was, I got it from some time ago already, a statement that, public statement that Candace Owens made concerning converting from liberalism to conservatism. But it fits with the lesson in humility. She said, you have to let the ego die. It takes humility. Have that humility, because what is on the other side of letting your ego burn and realizing you were wrong is truth, and it's glory. So may we experience that as well, as we seek to humble ourselves, face self, and praise God. So that's all I have. I would be glad for you to share in testimony, personal testimony, or comment on what we have heard today.